That's not always easy, especially in a Baptist church when you're up here looking out and seeing everybody's faces. Amen. but I thought about this, made me smile. And when I saw his name on that strap, when I first started in pharmaceuticals, I was 20 years old, SmithKline Beecham Pharmaceutical. And at that time, I started in the packaging department. And we had to wear uniforms, and you had your name on that uniform. And I worked there probably 2 or 3 years, and my name is Dwayne, amen. And there was a lady there for the whole 3 years. She called me Dwight. For 3 years, she called me Dwight. And she was getting ready to retire, and she said the very night she was retiring, I was just telling her goodbye, and she looked at my shirt. She said, "Oh, your name's Dwayne." I said, "Yeah, it's been like it all my life." I said, "I knew that's what you knew me by." So anyway, I've been called worse. And I thought I knew who Brother Daniel's name was, but I thought that was J.D. Sumner there. but no, I appreciate you tonight, Valley View Baptist Church. It's always an honor for us to be able to come up here. And y'all always treat us so kindly. And we thank you for that each and every time. It's an honor to get to come and stand and proclaim God's word. And also, Brother Daniel, Sister Sherry, thank you all for your kindness all week and laboring and putting up with me this week, and all the family. I love you from the bottom of my heart tonight. And thank you. I was glad to hear the good news, the young lady getting saved there. Amen. What a blessing that is to us. And the Lord, He makes all the difference. He makes all the difference tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter number 26. Acts chapter number 26. I'm not going to take the time tonight to read all these verses. I would encourage you as you go home, maybe tonight or sometime in the morning, whenever you do your Bible reading, just to go back, and I did that today, and just refresh myself on Paul's defense before King Agrippa and Festus there, and it blessed my heart. And we'll talk a little bit about it tonight, but I want to pick up in our text verses tonight in verses 24 and 25 of Acts 26. If you found your place, if you'd show me that tonight by standing in respect and honor to God's word. We'll start reading in verse number 24. "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad.' But he said," speaking of Paul, "'I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness.'" I find in this passage the great Apostle Paul. Well, I love studying after the great Apostle Paul. As he was standing here in defense and on trial before King Agrippa and the Roman governor Festus, and Paul here is given the opportunity to give a defense for his actions. I've been right here where Paul stood. When I got to go to Israel several years ago, it's at a place called Caesarea Maritime. It's right on the sea. And right where Paul stood is still there today. The very seat that King Agrippa sat upon and Festus was there, it's still there today. And I thought about this as I was reading this and picturing through the eyes of faith as Paul was there, and he took that opportunity to share his testimony of what Jesus did for him. Well, I love to hear folks' testimony. I love to hear folk tell me about what Jesus did for them, where they were when Jesus passed by their way, and take an opportunity like Paul did to share and to witness to the King.
But when these pagan rulers hear what Paul testify about and all that happened to him, and what the Savior he claims to serve has called him to do, what I want to bring your attention to tonight, Festus speaks up and calls Paul a madman. Right there in verse number 24, he says, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. So in other words, he tells Paul that all of his education and learning has driven him over the edge. In other words, he says in effect, Paul, you've lost your mind. Paul, you're a lunatic. Paul, you're crazy. Let us pray, and I'm going to get into this. I want to preach on this thought tonight. I'm not crazy. I'm saved. That's what Paul tells him. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity to stand one more time on this side of eternity, Father. And Father, it's an honor to stand here and for Brother Daniel to open up this pulpit to let us stand, and this pastor, and God, I don't take that for granted, and I thank you for him tonight, and I thank you for his wife, and God, I pray that they've been encouraged this week, and Father, as the church as well, but Father, the next few minutes, God, I pray you'll hide us behind the cross. God, I pray you'll anoint us, clear our hearts, clear our minds tonight, Father, that our hearts and minds will be focused upon your word. And God, speak to us only as you can, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated tonight. Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. I'm sure there's someone in your life that's told you you're crazy. Amen. Especially if you're married. Amen. Amen. But I thought about the Apostle Paul as he seized upon an opportunity to give defense. And if you go back and you'll see there in verse number 1, the Bible said, Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. He said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. So there's different things that I jotted down when folk, I'm not going to name them all, but when they say somebody's crazy. And one of them, he's saying you're one taco short of a fiesta platter. Amen. You're a few screws short of a hardware store. A few cards short of a deck. You're two fries short of a Happy Meal. I can go on and on with this, but I'm not. You get the picture tonight. But when Paul stood there and he seized on this opportunity, and you go back and you read it, we're going to read some of it tonight, but he basically told him where he started out. And tonight I've heard individuals say, Preacher, I don't know how to witness to somebody. I don't know how to lead anybody to the Lord. Let me ask you this tonight. Are you saved by the grace of God? Huh? Just tell them what Jesus did for you. Amen. Amen. Do what Paul did. Go back and start where you were. But what Jesus did, he passed by your way. And that night that you repented and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want to look at Paul's testimony. And I got thinking about these pagans that were there listening to Paul. And as Paul started sharing his testimony and telling about before he met Jesus Christ. And I dare say tonight if we were to put your life up on this wall and project that upon this wall. There are many things in our lives that we wouldn't want other people to see. I believe if we were honest, we'd all say that tonight. Before we met Jesus, we all have a testimony. It may be different. We may have not all went down the same path, but the Bible teaches me this, that we are all born sinners. So it doesn't matter if you've been born and raised in a Bible preaching and a Bible teaching church. I was. My family, listen, I went to church 3 times a week. I've heard the gospel story many, many times. My family sung for years. Me and my dad and my brother, we sung for years. So I was around in revivals and preaching, but that didn't make me saved, you see. I heard the good news of the gospel many times. And before I was saved, before I met Jesus, and Paul was sharing with these pagans what he was before he met Jesus. In other words, when we get into his testimony, they think Paul is crazy. And Paul's just saying, hey, I'm not crazy. I'm saved. Amen. Amen. And listen, the world does not understand spiritual things. They couldn't understand Paul's testimony. They couldn't understand Paul's teaching. Amen. They just couldn't understand that. And it's the same today. Well, I'll get excited about a service, maybe Sunday night or Wednesday. Maybe God moves in the service, man. I'll go out and talk to people, and depending on who you're talking to and depending where they go, if they're not familiar, and I'm not being critical. I'm just telling you how it is. If you get excited about the things of God and the Spirit of God moving, and you start talking about Jesus, you start talking about the moving of the Holy Spirit, amen. People look at you like, what in the world is that? What is that? Man, they think we're strange. They don't understand, Brother Austin, why you would learn and the gift that God has given you, and that you would get up and put a smile on your face and sing about, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. But as Paul is there and as he is taking and seizing upon the opportunity, I want you to see, number one tonight, they believe his teaching sounded crazy. His teaching sounded crazy. What I want you to see, number one, the claims that Paul made, number one, he said he saw a light. That was a blessing tonight. I was sitting down there, God had laid this on my heart, and I just shared a little bit with Brother Boone, and I said, man, and let me just get into it, amen. But anyway, it was right on it. He saw the light. Look in verse number 13. The Bible said, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. So you can imagine as he's sitting here or standing before King Agrippa and these pagans, and basically he said at noon, a light shined around him and his companions, and that eclipsed the power of the sun. They thought that was crazy. Okay. And then number two, he said he met the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verses 14 through 18. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send in thee to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, praise God, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So listen, Paul's claims as he sit there and he seized upon that opportunity to witness to these pagans. These teachings sounded crazy to them. Why? Because he's saying, hey, at noon I saw a light. Amen. It's greater than the sun. And then he seized on the opportunity to talk about one by the name of Jesus that the people who were present knew that he died on the old rugged cross of Calvary. That's what he was saying. He was saying, the one that you saw die, he lives. Oh, well. They thought he was crazy because he said he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And these people had saw Jesus die outside of Jerusalem at the hands of Pontius Pilate. Amen. And as he said this, and listen, friend, there's a lot of people out in this world today when we go witness or we're standing here tonight and we're preaching and we're witnessing and testifying what we were before Jesus saved us and what we are now. There's a lot of folk that just don't understand. Amen. That preacher's crazy. What is he talking about? What's he talking about? I'll tell you what Paul was talking about. They were preaching the doctrine of the resurrection. Amen. This one that you saw hang on an old Roman cross, he died. You saw him die. He gave up the ghost. That's what Paul's telling. Amen. I met this man by the name of Jesus. I'm telling you what I was before the Lord saved me. But then I met this man named Jesus, who they all saw die and was buried. They thought he was crazy. Your education has made you mad. You're a lunatic. Hey, man, boy, don't that make you feel good? That makes you feel good, don't it? But no wonder they thought that Paul had lost his marbles. Listen, Paul's statement may have sounded bizarre to those pagan Romans, but listen, anyone that knows the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not odd to us at all. And I want to look at that for a few minutes because I want you to see every saved person has seen the light. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6 said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 and 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Everyone that's saved here tonight, you remember where you were before you met Jesus. You know that you were dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible said, ye that were dead in trespasses and sin, hath he quickened. Hath he brought you to life? You remember where you were. You remember who you were. Listen, friend, once you've been to Calvary, you won't get up here and boast your chest out. My friend, throw your shoulders back. No, my friend, when you approach the holiness of God, I'll tell you what it'll do. You'll see how holy he really is. And you'll see how sinful you really are. Amen. And you'll see your need. Because you remember what it was like to be dead in trespasses in sin. Listen, you can remember what it's like to be one of the children of wrath. Listen, you know what it's like when you were drawn by the Holy Spirit of God. Or if anything, in this revival meeting, you know what revival is? It's for, and I praise God for the soul that's been saved. I praise God for another victory that I've heard tonight out of the meeting. I praise God. But let me say tonight, what revival is, it's for us that are born again, us believers. Amen. When you were dead in trespasses in sin, ye hath he quickened. He brought you to life. I talked about it. tonight. You remember when you got saved and that burden was rolled away and how excited you were to go out and tell somebody, I just got saved. Amen. That's biblical. It's not for us to get up and tell everybody all the time. It's for that individual to confess that, amen, before man. Listen, your burden was rolled away. You remember that. But throughout life and throughout service, there can be times that we become weary in well-doing. There's times that even doing right, we get tired. And maybe the excitement, my friend, we've lost the joy of our salvation. Amen. Listen to me today. Listen, if you're saved by the grace of God, listen, remember where you were before the Lord saved you. Listen, go back to that place where your burden was rolled away. Amen. And you cast that upon Him. I'm thankful for that. And that ought to stir your soul tonight. It ought to stir my soul tonight to know that I'm not dying and going to a devil's hell. A lot of folk don't get stirred about that anymore because I don't believe a lot of folk realize how bad hell really is. But what I want you to see tonight, my friend, there was a Savior that loves you. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish and that all should come under repentance. All should come under repentance. You say, preacher, who's going to get saved? Whosoever will. Who's not going to get saved? Whosoever won't. That's what it is. Amen. Amen. So listen, every saved person has seen the light. They remember the conviction over sin. And when the light came on, listen, I was raised in church all my life. Yes, I wasn't a perfect child. I got into things I shouldn't. But as far as a lot of testimonies, my friend, I didn't get a lot of this deep sin that you hear. Sin. I know I was a sinner, but I'm just saying this. I was raised in church all my life. I knew the gospel story. I knew it. I knew there was a heaven. I knew there was a hell. But I also know the Bible. I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that are saved tonight, you remember where you were. Matter of fact, Hank Williams wrote that song, I Saw the Light. No more in darkness, no more in light. You see, that's what happened, amen. When you got saved, amen, the light of the glorious gospel shined down in your dark soul. And you realized for the first time, hey, and I need a Savior. I need Jesus. I need Him. And you realize, listen, that He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You realize there was nothing you could do in yourself. There was nothing you could do. It was all what He did. So Paul seizes on this opportunity to tell him where he was before the Lord saved him. We recognize that at every saved person has seen the light. But not only that, every saved person has met the risen Lord that Paul preached. Now, the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I've not seen Him with my physical eyes. I didn't have to travel all those hours over there to the Holy Lands to know that the tomb was empty. I didn't have to do that because I'd already seen that through the eyes of faith. I'd already seen that. I got saved by the grace of God. And listen, this is a personal salvation tonight. It's a personal salvation. I'm glad that my daddy's saved. I'm glad that my mama's saved. I'm glad that my brother's saved, that my sister's saved. I'm glad that my father-in-law is my pastor and he's saved. And my mother-in-law's saved. And my wife is saved. And my three boys are saved. And my girl is saved. I'm thankful for that. But listen, that does not mean that I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved because I saw the light. Amen. And I met this person. Amen. I met this person. Some people call it Damascus Road experience. Mine is the Mott Knob Road experience. I've met the Lord. I preached about Him last night. He's my friend. He's my friend tonight. Listen, if you've believed the gospel and trusted Jesus for your salvation, listen, you're saved tonight. And listen, you go around talking about him. Listen, we ought to talk about him more than we do. I love to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. As long, hey, listen. But I talk to many Christians, and I go talk to them. Hey, man, start bragging on Jesus like many of you have. Listen, they don't want to talk about it much. They'll talk about everything else. But Paul seized on the opportunity. And listen, Paul was a man. He was a religious man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was a wealthy man. He had position and things like that. And listen, they could not understand. They couldn't understand what he was talking about. You were here. You met this man named Jesus that we saw dead. And you're saying he's alive. They didn't understand it. You're crazy. And as they... He kept on talking about it. Got thinking about some things that we talk about that the world just don't understand. We talk about a baby born of a virgin. The Savior who was crucified, who was buried and rose again. Born of a virgin. Absolutely. That's very important to what we believe. I don't understand that. That's impossible, preacher. I've got scripture for that. And also it says what's impossible with man is possible with God. When we talk about his blood and how it washed our sins away. I love that verse. It says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You say, are you a blood preacher? Absolutely. That's the only kind of preacher there is. Amen. True preacher. How God can take a red blood, amen, and apply it to black sin and a black heart and wash it white as snow. Only he can do that. The world does not understand that. Amen. They don't understand when we say that we have a home in a place called heaven that goes against our flesh. Oh, in this day, everybody is trying to work to get more and more and more. And driving their roots deeper and think they're staying here forever. Praise God, I'm just pulling mine up because I'm a little closer home. And there's nothing down here that's going to compare to my heavenly home. Nothing that's going to compare to it. They don't understand why we come 4 nights to a meeting. They don't understand why we labor and come and share the good news of the gospel and that Jesus saved. They don't understand that. You're crazy. You could be doing something else. We believe that Jesus is coming in the clouds to raise the dead and call them home to heaven. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in two parts. And just any day now, he's going to step out on the clouds of glory. Well, Sister Lois, I'm ready for him to come. Just any day now, he's going to step out on the clouds of glory. And those who are dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord are going to be caught up together with them in the air. And forever be with the Lord. The Bible said, comfort one another with these words. Oh, you talk about the second coming of the Lord. They're mocking in this day just like they did back in the Bible days. Oh, you've been saying that for years. Absolutely. But guess what? We're another day closer home. We're another day closer home. You're crazy if you believe that. Isn't that what they said to Noah? Oh, it hadn't rained upon the face of the earth. Oh, crazy Noah. Out there just building a big old boat. And he warned them. Tried to get them to get in. I went and watched that in Lancaster. Boy, you talk about chills running down you when you were inside of that ark. He's mocking him. And one day, he won his family. Oh, crazy Noah. He had his priorities in line right there because he won his family. But all the rest of them, guess what? God shut that door. And when God shut it, and boy, when that rain started falling, man, you could hear them beating on that. For the last, you standing preaching all them years. Oh, you've been saying that preacher all these years. You're crazy. Jesus is coming back. The second coming of the Lord. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. He's coming. He's coming in the clouds. You don't want to be left behind. Oh, preacher, I'll believe then. No, you won't. You won't believe then. We're in the church age. We're in the grace age. This is not, listen, we got the Holy Spirit of God here right now. One day, Jesus is going to step out on the clouds of glory. Just any day now, His face I'm going to see. We're going to be caught up. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God is going to go with us. He's going with us. You think this world's in bad shape now with the constraint of the Holy Spirit? You wait what it's going to be when He's gone with us. I'll believe then, preacher. Oh, no, you won't. I believe the Bible teaches us that He'll send a strong delusion and you'll believe a lie. We believe some things that sound crazy to the lost world. Those who have been lost in the depths of sin have made the trip to Calvary by faith and have the risen Savior. It all makes sense to us. You see, that Bible is not a proof book. You can prove things by it. But it's a faith book. I believe that Bible from Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All the way to the last chapter and the last verse of the book of the Revelation. You say, do you understand it all? No, I don't understand it all, but thank God I believe it all. I had this young man when I first started pastoring Beulah. Daddy came and talked to me as a teenager. He said, Brother Dwayne, I don't know what to do with my son. He told me he believes part of the word. He has trouble believing all of the word. He said, Brother, you either believe all the word or you don't believe it at all. So I picked up the phone, Brother Les, and I called Brother Bob Steele. Brother Bob Steele. And I gave it to him. Boy, he helped me. He said, Brother Dwayne, I want you to turn over to John chapter number 3, where it says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. I said, I believe I ought to work. We had a problem with it, those things. It seemed impossible for man. What? You walked across on dry ground here in the Exodus? What? You were delivered? Israel, Pharaoh's army was chasing them, and you believe that water stood up? And they walked across on dry ground, and when they went, the water closed. Yeah, I believe that. You're crazy. Brother Boone, he's saying amen. Get a man, brother. Get a man. Get a man. Oh, do you believe that? When God's man didn't compromise Daniel, he continued to pray. When that decree went out, he said, I'm going to steal 3 times a day. I'm going to pray to God. Got thrown in the den of lions.
Sea of Galilee. You know what I did when I was on that Sea of Galilee? Man, I was looking at the water. I was like, man, my Savior's feet walk in this water. Do you believe that, preacher? Absolutely. You're crazy. You're crazy. You believe that God spoke this world into existence? You believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? Oh, yeah. You believe He just spoke and that it was done? Yeah. You believe He formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul? I do. You're crazy. That boy in the church, I came back and I told his daddy, I said, give him this verse. He that believeth not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Boy, it shook that young man. Old Bob Steele, man, he gave him that verse. Boy, it shook it, man. Boy, he didn't have no problem believing after that. See, His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. It doesn't matter if the world is not going to understand spiritual things. You remember when Philip, they were having a revival, and the Holy Spirit of God moved on Philip to go somewhere else. Man, I'd be like, Lord, I'm enjoying it right here. God had a purpose. There was an Ethiopian eunuch. He walks up to him and says, understandest thou readest? He said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? That's what he said. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he said. He got saved by the grace of God. You see. I'm going to share this with you. I'll let you go tonight. Listen to this. There was a man. The hardest case that I've ever tried to win to the Lord was, I was a young preacher. And I'd walked in that hospital room. He had really bad lungs, Wes Wilson. And I went there, he'd tell you he was lost, and he would tell you he was on his way to hell. And just a young preacher went in that hospital, and I said, Wes, I said, won't you come to church? He said, preacher, if I come to that church, he said, the roof would fall in. We've all heard that. I said, Wes, it didn't fall in when I came in. It wouldn't fall in when you came in. But did you know, little by little, every time I went, I didn't talk to him about Jesus. I talked to him about gardening. I talked to him about hunting, things like that, things he liked. He got to where he liked me. And one day, this is what he said. He said, preacher, he said, if I ever decide to get saved, he said, you'll be the preacher that I call. Did he get saved a year? No, it took years. Every time he was in the hospital, I would go and I would visit him. And one day, they rolled him in a wheelchair up to the front of the church. Boy, the Holy Spirit of God started moving in that service, and I looked over, man, the tears started coursing down his cheeks. He's under Holy Ghost conviction. That's what it takes. Make a long story short, several years after what he told me, I was helping coach baseball. My boys were playing baseball, and I told Amanda, I said, before I go to the field, I feel like I need to go up and visit Wes. Been witnessed to many times. I've seen people, we've presented God. I've seen people present to God through family. Cold. But I went into that day. We didn't even talk about Jesus. We were talking about gardening and things like that. He always liked that story about that squirrel falling from our ceiling in church. You know, that's another story for another day. hospital and turned my ringer on and prayed that you'd ring my phone. See, he had read through the Bible. He was lost, so he didn't understand it. That's what I'm getting at. They don't understand it. He started asking me questions. He said, how can a man in my shape get baptized? And I took him through the Word of God, and I told him, he's a smart man. He looked at me and said, I said, baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. It's salvation by grace through faith. And I explained what baptism was, how it was an ordinance, how it was a picture of the death, the burial, the resurrection. It was a testimony to the church that you've been saved, that you died to the old man, be raised to walk through this blood. And he would ask me another question. He'd ask me another question. I'd tell him, he said, Willis, have you ever heard the story of the Ethiopian? He said, I think so. I said, you're not going to understand. You're lost. By your own admittance, you're lost. You're not going to understand until you get the author of the book, the Holy Spirit, living on the inside of you. And I answered his question. I'll never forget. He reached up there. A man that used to think church, preachers, were crazy. That's what this. He reached up there, I was listening, and he took that hospital tray, pushed it to the side. He said, preacher, I'm ready to let you hear it. I fell down that old dirty hospital floor on my knees, man. He cried out to God and got saved by the grace of God. Do you think I went out and told his stepson that was a preacher out of our church that he got saved? No. You know why? Because I wanted to see if he would tell me. I didn't tell anybody besides him. But then a man called me. He said, man, right when I walked in that hospital, he said, Danny, I got saved. Go see him after that in the hospital. And we were doing these DVDs of the services so you could send them to your shut-in and they could watch right on the TV. And he said, preacher, been watching them DVDs of the services. I said, man, I was joking with you. I said, ain't nothing worse than watching a rerun of a Baptist preacher, is it? And you know, he started laughing. But here's what he said. He said, this guy's up in the 70s. He said, I don't know. He said, you're the only one I've ever listened to. Listen. This is how important you are to God in Israel. Valley View Baptist Church, you as individuals, you at Pencastle, wherever you're at tonight, Central Baptist, Beulah Baptist, wherever it may be, there is going to be people that you're put here for you to witness to. Just to simply tell them your testimony, what you were before you met Christ, and seize on that opportunity when God opens the door. As you said, preacher, I wish you would go over it. Listen, there's going to be people you can win that I cannot win. There's going to be people you can win that your pastor can't win. You're that important for this church, your church. You're the body of Christ. It is the last time you witness to someone. resurrection, the same power that He raised with. We've got that power on the inside of us. We've got access to that. God can. You said it last night. Can God? And God answers, God can. God can in this day. He can in this day. And these communities need God's people, amen, to get stirred again and get on fire again for God and get a heart for God's people and get out and say, God can. God still can. He still can. I'm tired of the days that we're living in and saying, oh, we're living. People use that as an excuse. We're living in perilous times. We're living in days. Yes, we are. It's going to wax worse and worse. Yes, it is. But God says, occupy thyself till I come. He didn't tell us to sit down and get depressed and all that. He said, listen, I'm giving you power. I'm giving you power. I can do this. Listen, all He required of us is to be done. Be a witness. Carry that attitude forward that God can. Whatever that is in your life, God can do it. He can do it. He can send revival to your heart. I'm going to tell you something. That's why I pray all the time. Because, listen, number one, I'm His child. Number two, I'm husband for the love of my life. I'm a daddy to four youngins. And don't matter how dark it gets, I want them to see that they're daddy. Listen, yes, I get discouraged from time to time, but there's one that's never left me. There's one that's been faithful to me. And there's one that I know that He still wants His work to carry forth. And He's got a remnant of people. The world may not know who we are, but God knows who we are. And you can make a difference, amen, if you allow Him to use your life. Don't matter if they think it's crazy. They thought His teaching was crazy. They thought His testimony was crazy that He left that life and went to serve God. In the end, He said, listen, there's noble faces. I'm not crazy. So, I'm just doing what Moses told me to do and what the Lord told me to do. Because when he got saved, but left. If you remember, if you go back to the Damascus Road, when he got saved, it said that he would stand before the Gentiles, the Jews, and before kings. That's exactly what he did. He went to the Gentiles, the Jews, they were not happy with him. That's what he's defending himself for. And he's standing before a king, the child of God. And he said, I'm just doing what God told me to do. Son, you're going to make a difference for the Lord. You're going to make a difference for the Lord. You keep your eyes upon Him. We need a generation to see and have a desire. The churches are not dead anymore. It's important. It is that important that we talked about that the Spirit of God is present ever, sir. I know He don't work the same every time. I know His word won't return in them void. There's one thing I told my children. I said, you're without excuse. You've seen the power of God. Not all my children to go for the counterfeits of the world. I want them. They've been in the fire. You're not going to be satisfied with the smoke. You let them call us crazy. They don't understand. And I'll tell you what, if we make a difference and we witness them, God gets a hold of their heart and they see Jesus as a holy God and Savior of their soul, and they repent and get saved, then they'll understand. I want everybody in here to know you can make a difference. Young lady, I'm proud of you. God's got a plan for your life. God will use your life. As you grow, was before the Lord saved me. But I heard the Word of God preached and got under the Holy Ghost and said, you don't understand it. Well, you do, and you just don't say that. Some soul, some water, it's God that gives them. You can make a difference in this world. Make a difference. Pastor Boone, you're making a difference. Sister Sherry, you are making a difference. God can. He can send a revival. Brother Jim Phelps from Brother Les's church, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup is over. Because when you overflow, brother, I'm telling you, it'll rub off on somebody. Because I'll tell you what, if they've been used to being in some bed, dried up, plucked up, I'm going to tell you something, doesn't it? Man, there's just something about that. There's something about him that's real. There's something about her that's real. Boy, all that appetite that they run after the things of the world, man, well, man, he's got joy when he shouldn't have joy. Listen to me tonight. You're here lost. Let me say this. You're here lost tonight. Jesus will save you. He'll save you. Brother Mason, it's good to see you. I don't know what I'd do without Jesus. But if you're here and you're saved, and you're not as high on the mountain as you once were, you think about when you were, had that joy in your heart, you were fired up for the things of God in your ministry. Know tonight God can. You'll just recognize tonight. And it's no telling what God will do in Valley View Baptist Church. I'd love to see God put a spark in here that'll fire. I'd like to see these other churches help. I'd like to see Christian Burns here, all this area. It's our only hope in these days is to do our part. Your pastor, thank you for allowing me to have you pull. I'm going to let your pastor come. He understands. He needs you to lift his arms up. Remember Aaron and Hur? You don't hear many people preach on them, but if it wasn't for her, I'm not talking about these hers these days. I mean, that's his name. But they would have lost the battle. Praying for y'all. I'm weak. You go out of this meeting and say, God can. And God has all power.
Yesterday, some point in time, Brother Dwayne and I was talking about that valley of dry bones. Got to sharing that. He said, yeah, man. I said, you know, them bones came together. The flesh and the sinews came on the bones. And then there was a body. And then it said that God breathed. They preached to them, prophesied to them. And there was God breathed on them. And they stood on their feet in exceeding great armor. This morning, Brother Dwayne and I went out in the woods just about daylight. It was turkey hunting. We were standing there on the side of this hill side by side like this. I said, Brother Dwayne, let's pray. I said, all right. Took our hats off. Man, there wasn't an iota wind blowing. We took our hats off and I started praying. And this breeze blew. I mean, just a steady breeze hit us in the face and just blew. It wasn't like puffing and it just blew steady. I got done praying. Dwayne says, do you feel that breeze? I did. You feel that wind blowing? I said, huh? Man, that's what, you know what? God breathing on you. Man, that is for the saved people. I mean, that's what we need, man.
Yeah.
There was an army already laying there. There was an army laying there. Something happened, catastrophic.
God breathed on them. They preached to them. The preacher preached to them. Prophesied to them bones. Flesh came. Snooze came. Still wasn't alive. Still wasn't alive. See, we can look like a body. Still not be alive. God breathed on them. Stood on their feet, exceeding great army.
It's for the church. Heard the message tonight, you heard the word. I was thinking about my own, thinking back. 32 years, almost 32 years old. Wasn't saved, knew about God all my life, knew about Jesus all my life. And preacher come, they come several Thursday nights. And then one night, we got there talking about it. I liked them to come. And the preacher asked me this question. He said, Has there ever been a point in your life when you asked Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of your sin? I said, No, I didn't. I never had done that. He showed me this is what the Bible said. I said, you know what? Not the sharpest tack in the box. But that's what I need to do. I need to get saved. And I kneeled down there. I could take you to within 6 inches of that place in that house where I got saved. Asked Jesus to come in my heart, forgive me of my sins. Did I know how he was going to deal with all my baggage and all my sin? I did not know that. All I know is I just need to be saved and let God deal with it. Huh? Tell you what, did it breathe on me just a little bit? Huh? Trusting him for my salvation. Maybe that's you. You know, maybe that's you. I was like Brother Dwayne. I grew up. He was probably in church more than I was, but I knew about Jesus. I went to church. I went to Sunday school. I'd been to some vacation Bible schools. I always believed there was a God. I always believed in Jesus. But I just never put my faith in ask him for forgiveness of my sins. I didn't, you know. And that's what we need to do. Let's stand. Paul's going to come lead us in a song. God spoke to your heart tonight. And, you know, you realized... that you're not saved. And Brother Twain didn't give his testimony tonight, but he sort of did, but he already gave it and I already knew it. And we've heard it. Brother Dwayne was a Sunday school teacher and a Sunday school superintendent in Pastor Les Ketron's church. And Brother Dwayne was lost. And one night he got under conviction, thought he was saved, got under conviction. And God spoke to his heart in a revival meeting. They'd been in a revival, and it was after that, I think. And he come out one night, went back in, and him and the church treasurer got saved on the same night. Amen. Yes, man, I mean, and there it is. So here's a man that was in church, thought he was saved. There's a lot of people out there that thinks they're saved. And so just search your heart. God spoke to your heart, the Holy Spirit. We'll have an invitation. You come to the altar and pray if you will. If you have a burden for somebody else, maybe you need just to have something to be prayed about. Every one of us has lost loved ones, people that don't know the Lord. We can pray for them. Yes. Whatever God spoke to your heart. If you need to be saved, get my attention. Be happy to pray with you, show you what the Bible says about being saved.
Thank you, Pastor. Brother Dwayne. Our hymn of invitation, hymn 97, I Need Thee Every Hour.
I need thee every hour. Most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
Amen. Well, like I said, we appreciate you guys being here, and I thank you so much, Dwayne, for coming. And I mean, I know I've preached in meetings and been at meetings and preached all week, and then you're trying to get ready for your own church service, and that it's a load, man. But I mean, God is able, right?